Well, blessing and peace on you, my friends. Call you blessed in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from the studios here at Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. Guys, welcome to the podcast broadcast. If you're listening on the radio or one of our Shining 72 radio stations from sea to shining sea, I call you blessed in the mighty name of King Jesus. Or if you have signed up for our podcast at iHeartRadio or perhaps at troybrewer.com or any other place where you sign up for podcasts, man, I want to say welcome to you, whatever part of the world that you're listening to this in. A few weeks ago, I started a brand new venture. I mean, I didn't have anything else to do, so I'm like, hey, let's just do something else. I'm just too bored, you know? There's not much going on. I don't think I've ever said that in my life, to tell you the truth. We are a busy bunch around here, and this is an incredibly busy time of year, but I was like, hey, no, I have some really good friends, and one of my good friends is a guy by the name of Jamie Galloway, and we started a brand new video podcast thing that we actually put on Facebook every single Tuesday at 12 o'clock Central Noon, and I want to share it with you. This is called The Revelation Report. And we're going through the book of Revelation, and we're actually talking about random prophetic events that we see that's going on all around us. And Jamie Galloway hails out of Nashville, Tennessee. You can find him at jamiegalloway.com, and I'm getting ready to go there now. Guys, God bless you so much, and enjoy this. Make yourself teachable. Here we go. Well, a great big God bless you so much, friends. Blessing and peace on you. Hey, thanks so much. Yeah, I appreciate my teams that are putting all this together today because, guys, we want to be so faithful to bring this to you. Everywhere I go at all these conferences that I'm doing now on the weekends, people say, golly, I love the Revelation Report. I love the Revelation Report. I love it so much. All right, so this is where we're at. We're in Revelation chapter 4. I'm only going to talk to you for just a couple of minutes because we're at one particular verse, and now we're getting off into the throne room scene that is in Revelation chapter 4. And the first thing that we see is that when John sees the throne room, he can't help but see it as precious stones. What? Yeah, man, we're going to go over a lot of prophetic speech today. Jamie Galloway is going to have some crazy cool insight when it comes to this. And I just kind of want to give you my little spin on this, okay? Let me say this, that for the past couple of weeks, we've been at the beginning of Revelation chapter 4, and we've been talking about the rapture of the church. We've been talking about that he heard the first voice, and that it sounded like a trumpet saying, come up here. And he saw a door open in heaven, and then as soon as he saw that, immediately he was in the spirit, and then he saw the throne room. You will not see the throne room until you see the open door. And you do not get to get into the throne room until you accept the invitation of the open door to come up out of the thing that you've been in and to actually go into the throne room. One of the things I like to say is the way to the throne room is through the servants' quarters. And when you get a permission, when you get a green light, when you get a command, when you get an invitation to come up here, you accept that. Now, I know that there's lots and lots of different layers of revelation that's all about. And we have been talking about the rapture of the church, but I just want to just talk about in everyday life right now. And remember, guys, to us, the book of Revelation is a book about the majesty of Jesus. It's not a book about finding the Antichrist. It's a book about Jesus being revealed to you, the Christ being revealed to you. And oh, how precious Jesus is to those who love him. Yeah, I'm looking for his appearing. I am. I also want to say this, that Jimmy Evans' book is one of our books that we actually, it's one of the resources we have. And if you haven't got Jimmy Evans' latest book, get it. I want to put it up on the screen right now and look at this so that you'll be able to recognize it. And if you call 877-413-0888, or if you simply go to troybrewer.com, it's one of the resources that we have listed in there. It's a really big deal. Yep. Okay. So let's get off into Revelation chapter 4, and let me see where I'm at time-wise. Oh, I see it. Okay, I'm doing super good. Let me put on my glasses. Dun-da-da, dun-da-da-da. Okay, And he says this, that at once he was in the spirit, immediately he was in the spirit. And then whenever we get off into the next verse, we get into, but in this chapter, we see here a very clear signal as John stops being in the spirit or when he comes down. Only to a limited degree can we attain in our reading of the book of Revelation of sense of where we are. I'm actually quoting from some of the notes that I have here. And here's what I'm going to tell you is that actually whenever he steps in and whenever he sees the throne, he says something amazing. And he gives this description, and it's true to the Jewish principle that no one has ever seen God. Okay. And what is that? That's John 1:18. That's John 4:12. You can also look at Exodus 33:20. And in many ways, he recalls Ezekiel's introduction into the throne room. And again, you can compare this to the book of Ezekiel and in many ways, the book of Daniel. And I love that. Okay. So when he gets off in there and when he sees all this, he says this, I saw one that was on the throne, and his appearance was as jasper. I'm going to let Brother Jamie Galloway go off on a bunch of the precious stones, and we're going to be talking about that because now we're getting off into this. But when it says the one, when I saw one who sat on the throne, I want you guys to pay attention to that because it's actually a capital O. It's a capital O. And what is that? It means it's one of the names for King Jesus. It's the one. Hey, have you seen the one? Dr. Richard Eby. I don't know if anybody remembers Dr. Richard Eby from the 1980s. He was someone who had been resurrected from the dead. He'd had an encounter with God for a long, long, long time because he'd been dead for a long time. And then he was resurrected from the dead, Dr. Richard Eby. He actually had a book. I think it was called Didn't You Read My Book or something silly like that. It was because it was something that Jesus kept saying to him when he would ask a question in heaven. He'd say, oh, didn't you read my book? Because it says yada, yada, yada. Well, this is what I was talking about. But one of the things that I remember him telling me personally, because I was his friend and I had hours and hours and hours of conversations, personal conversations with that amazing man of God. He said that one of the things that happened was when he got to the gates, and every gate is a different tribe. And we know that from the Bible, but he said that everybody belongs to a tribe and the tribe meets you there. Anybody that had anything to do with your testimony, anything to do with it, they're there to meet you and to welcome you. And he said, as he went through the gates and after he talked to everybody and hugged everybody, that they started asking him, have you seen the one? Have you seen him? Man, I think about that and it blows my mind. Someday I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to get to see the one whose appearance on the throne is as jasper. Wow. Something really cool over the weekend last week, I was in Jasper, Alabama, and I was with Worship Life Church, and I was with Pastor Wayne, and I was with Pastor Jenny, and I was with their amazing team, and it was so cool. And I couldn't help but think, man, it's so cool that I'm in Jasper, Alabama, and this coming Tuesday, I'm going to be preaching on whose appearance was as jasper. Well, throughout the centuries, we've really lost the translation. Our language has changed, is what I should say. It's changed drastically because language is a very organic thing. It changes and changes and changes, especially if it's English, because English is just a mess. You know, it's not as cool of a language as Hebrew. It's not as cool of a language as Greek or even Latin. It's kind of a Frankenstein of a whole bunch of other languages. And jasper to us today is really a dull stone. It's not a super bright, wonderful stone. But it says that the first one was as jasper, and then he describes a second. It says both at the same time, it was kind of like white and red, white and red, white and red. I think about that. You know, you ever get pulled over? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get pulled over. Pastor AJ, you ever get pulled over, man? Yeah, every now and then. He said all the time. That's what he said. And you know what I see? I see white and red. I see white and red. If you see that white and red that's in your rearview mirror, the next time you see that, remember John chapter 4. Because whenever he saw bright, shining lights, and it looked like certain kinds of stones. And the first one he describes as jasper, but again, jasper's kind of dull yellow, and that's not really a good translation for us now. A better translation would be a diamond. That first, it was like translucent. It was very diamond-like. A diamond is only beautiful if it's cut and set. And this one is a perfect diamond. It shines and it's bright and it's like a diamond. And then the second one is red in color. So it speaks of holiness and redemption, holiness and redemption, holiness and redemption. And it's like kaboom, boom, 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 boom. Whenever you look up into the heavens and you see the stars, they are always twinkling, right? Well, there's something really cool. I mean, you don't want to be anywhere around those stars because they're going, gah, 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 gah. Ours is so steady. Ours is so steady. It doesn't twinkle, meaning it doesn't get real bright and then get dim, then get real bright and then get dim. That means it's actually a violent process that's taking place. But the throne of heaven is very much like that. As I'm about to turn this back over to Tabitha Murphy, and then she's going to introduce my good friend Jamie Galloway. And Jamie's got a lot of things to say about all this. Friends, thank you so much for joining us here today. I'm going to turn this over to Miss Tabitha, and let's keep going through the book of Revelation. Boom.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. There's Pastor Troy speaking on Jasper, speaking on the throne room, also speaking on the one and how Jesus is referenced as the one in heaven. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite Jamie on today. So hello there, Jamie. How are you?
Hey, Tabitha. It's good to be here. How are you doing?
I am doing good. So what'd you think?
Man. I love it. You know, Ashley, I had a conversation with Troy earlier this morning, and so I got to hear some of that over the phone. But man, that was awesome. That is awesome stuff. And so I'm really pumped about getting into the rest of Revelation 4, and or at least several of the passages here. But we're gonna do that and dovetail off of what Troy has already done. And so I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, I am going to turn this over to you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tabitha.
All right, talk to you later.
From the very beginning, the Lord has called our tribe to be the hands and the feet of King Jesus to the poor and to the world's most vulnerable. We have been demonstrating the heart of the Lord in at least 53 nations throughout the world by building nearly 100 water wells, schools and homes for orphans, leprosy villages in India, and even now we are feeding more than 3,000 people every single week right here in the United States through our local food banks. Several years ago, we built a massive effort to save boys and girls from the terrors of sexual slavery. You know, the number of redeemed children is now in the thousands, thousands of kids rescued, and those numbers are growing every single day. When you partner with Troy Brewer Ministries, not only are you helping me preach the gospel, but you're actually helping me demonstrate it through selfless acts of redemption and also helping us see a little boy or a little girl saved in every way that a child can be saved. We know we can't do it alone, so we're asking you to prayerfully consider being a part of our tribe. When you call us today or when you go to troybrewer.com and once you partner with us, not only will you receive the blessing of God for this great kingdom effort, but you will also receive free access to our video teaching platform at troybrewer.tv. It's video on demand, point, click, and have your life change. It's all of my school of ministry, all of my school of prophecy, all of my videos called Numbers That Preach, all of my pulpit teaching, and even all of my conferences with guests from all over the planet Earth. This is our free gift to all of our monthly partners, and I encourage you to take advantage of it. Go to troybrewer.com and partner with us today.
All right, everybody, thank you so much. We're going to jump right into Revelation and the rest of Revelation 4. And so we're at Revelation 4. If you've been watching the Revelation Report, man, welcome back. If this is your first time, you got to play a lot of catch up. We've done so much over the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, 3. Now we're in 4. And so there's tons of content for you to go over, learning what the seven churches mean, what those mean to us today, and the lessons that we can learn when God is speaking, when Jesus is speaking to the seven churches. And so we're in Revelation 4, which is one of my favorite passages, both Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. And like Troy talked about, this is a completely different scene. And he's even talked about this before, where it's like you go into Revelation 4 and it's all of a sudden in living color. Everything was black and white up until then. And so now we are in Revelation 4, and we see this, and it's got 24 elders surrounding this throne. John is witnessing this event. And some say that what John is witnessing is actually a trial. And it's not just any trial, it's a trial of the heavenly council. And so they're putting humanity on trial. Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open up the scroll, to loose its seals? There's none found worthy except the Lamb. And we're going to get into that. And this is what they're coming into. Who is worthy? And Revelation 4 wants to make a point to us in its imagery, in the prophetic illustration, that Jesus is the worthy one. Well, God is surrounded at this great throne with 24 elders. But here's what's amazing to me. As Troy talked about, there's already the jasper and the sardius stone. But then in verse 3, there is a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Now, emerald, the color green. The color green is one of the most, the more shades or more hues of green than any other color in the color palette. More green than any other color. And so it's amazing to me that God has surrounded himself with the emerald rainbow, the color green. Some say there are 24 top colors when it comes to the different shades of green. And so it then plays into this whole idea of the 24 elders around the throne. And there's a lot of mystery here that I want to help make sense to you, at least in some of my research and some of the things that I've discovered and some of the things I'm learning. And I'm willing to have an open mind. These are things that we read. It's not necessarily something that I have seen. I can't tell you that I've seen the 24 elders around the throne. I cannot tell you that I've seen the four living creatures around the throne. I've seen glimpses of that type of stuff, but this is something that we're reading through a mirror. We're looking through this mirror. We're looking through this partial perspective, and it's reading what John saw. And so we're going to jump right in. And so then in verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. So who are these 24 elders? What's going on here? Well, you have to go back to 1 Chronicles 24. It's so amazing that it's in 24. The sons of Aaron were the priests, and they were each allotted a different portion of the responsibilities in the tabernacle. So 1 Chronicles 24 and of the sons of Aaron talk about both the tabernacle responsibilities, the temple responsibilities, and how there are 24 that were given a division of those responsibilities, and the lot fell to each one of them as to what it was that they were going to take for the day. So these 24 elders are really a picture of the 24 priests that are surrounding God, constantly ministering to the Lord. And some say that they're also a picture of the Old Testament patriarchs and the New Testament apostles, both the 12 from the Old Testament and the 12 from the New. And so you have a picture there of 24 elders serving, casting their crowns, and declaring out that God is good and he is holy. And so another take on this is that some would say that this is a picture of the divine council. Now, in order to do some research on the divine council, I recommend some information and some stuff from Dr. Michael Heiser. He's got great resources on the unseen realm and the divine council. But some would say that this 24 elders are actually the picture of the divine council in heaven, also known as the watchers. And so in Daniel tells us this, that when the king was about to go mad, when he was about to go crazy, and he was going to be like the beasts in the field, the Babylonian king, that it says, Daniel says, I saw a watcher, a holy one, come down, and he made a decree. And so there are times when we see this through scripture, and we now see this in Revelation 4. It's the 24 elders, it's the divine council, It's what was pictured in the book of Job when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord. And it tells us, and Satan was among them. And while Job's picture of this same scene looks like God receiving accusation from Satan in Revelation 4, he's no longer receiving accusation. He's receiving affirmation that he is holy. And so we see these 24 elders surrounding the throne, casting their crowns day or night. And then it says in verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, in order to do some research on the seven spirits of God, you're going to have to look up Isaiah 11:2. I want you to say this word out loud. I want you to say portion. If you said that already, I want you to say the word measure. You're going to have to get familiar with this word, both portion and measure. In the Old Testament, they would call it the portion. In the New Testament, they call it the measure. And so Jesus is the one with the Spirit poured out upon him without measure. He receives the Holy Spirit, and there is no limited portion of the Holy Spirit given to Jesus. He is given the seven spirits of God. Whereas you and I, we receive from the Spirit a portion of God's giftings, a portion or a measure of faith. And to each one is given to us a measure. But Jesus has the Spirit without measure. John the Baptist said this, upon whom you see, he said, God has spoken to him, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, he is the one who has the Spirit without measure. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so we see Jesus in Revelation 4, but as we get into Revelation 5, but it's setting the stage. The seven spirits of God are there. What are the seven spirits of God? Isaiah 11:2 goes over them. The Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, and Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Those are the seven. And so each of these are pictured in the candlestick. If you do some Old Testament research, you're going to find the candlestick, which is in the tabernacle as well as the temple. It is in the holy place. And what is fascinating about the candlestick, it was pictured with almond blossoms, rods, and knobs. What are those? Well, an almond blossom was the first tree in Israel to bloom in the new year. And so when the almond blossom would actually bloom, it pictured for Israel, this is a new season. And so the candlestick, which is a picture of the seven spirits of God, has the almond blossoms, rods, and knobs on there. And it pictures to us a new season. What is that season? Well, Acts chapter 2 commences that season for us. It's the outpouring of the Spirit. And these are the seven spirits of God that are poured out upon us. We each have a measure, but Jesus has the Spirit without measure. And if you do some research, you'll find that on the candlestick, there are 39 almond blossoms, rods, and knobs to the left and 27 to the right, making up a total of 66. What else is 66? It's the number of the canon of the books of Scripture. And so this is a fascinating study. And so we look at this candlestick, the seven spirits of God. Jesus has this, and he's going to be pictured about with this later, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven horns and seven eyes. What does that tell you? That Jesus has perfect insight and perfect power. He's got the perfect insight into whatever is going on, and he's got the perfect power to make things happen. Seven is the number of completion, perfection. And so Jesus is pictured with these seven spirits. We go on. It says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Now, I love how it says full of eyes in front and back. Some other translations would say full of eyes around and within. And so it tells us this, that these four living creatures have eyes, but not just one set of eyes. They have two different sets of eyes. They have eyes around and within. They have eyes on the outside, and they have eyes on the inside. They have eyes on the front and they have eyes in the back. They can see everything that's going on. And so they are the four living creatures. Some people mistake them for the cherubim that are pictured in Ezekiel 1. But I want to show you something that might spark your interest, send you on another bunny trail in the Revelation report, and further your study of this amazing revelation. It tells us in Isaiah 6 that Isaiah sees the seraphim high. They're each there serving in the presence of God, having six wings. It says, with two they flew, with two they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet. These are the seraphim that went to the coals of fire, and they pick from the coals of fire, and they put it those coals on Isaiah's lips, and they purge from him his iniquity. They cleanse them from his iniquity. And so we see this. These are the seraphim, and they are pictured in Isaiah 6 as having six wings, but you can't see their face because with two, they're covering their face. With two, they're covering their feet, and with two, they're flying. But when we get to Revelation 4, we see these living creatures. It says in verse 7 and 8, the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had the face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whoa! What's going on here? Well, in Isaiah 6, this is before the cross. We have to understand this, that the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, it changed everything, even heaven. Jesus, we know, goes into not just the prototype or the mirror that is on earth, the temple or the tabernacle. He actually takes his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven and forever cleanses the heaven, according to Hebrews. So he cleanses the heavens. And in Isaiah 6, these four living creatures, which are pictured as the seraphim, have to cover their face because something has not been satisfied. Sin has not been paid for. And so they're pictured in Isaiah 6 as covering their face. But as soon as the cross and the resurrection takes place, they're now able to behold God with an unveiled face. Tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, that we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and with an unveiled face, we behold him. We're beholding God with the unveiled face. And what happens in Revelation 4? We see these seraphim. They're no longer covering their face, but we get to see who they are. They're the four living creatures, one with the face like a man, one with the face like an eagle, one with the face like an ox, and one with the face like a lion. Each of them are a picture of the nature of Jesus. Tells us in Romans that all creation is speaking to us about the nature of Jesus. It's telling us about the nature of God, that all mankind is that we're all required to believe God because God gives evidence. Everything is speaking about him. And so we can't say, "Oh, I didn't know that there's a God." Now, we might not know who he is. We might not know his name. And people wonder what happens if somebody dies and they don't know Jesus because they've never heard the gospel. Well, I think that God has a different account for them. But that's why we got to get this gospel message out there. We've got to get this gospel of salvation and the kingdom to all mankind, that people could come to the knowledge of Jesus, that they could see his face. They could live for him here. They could live for him now. And so, but all mankind can't say, "Well, God didn't show himself to me." Yes, he did. He did it in everything around us, whether it's the trees, whether it's the grass, whether it's nature, whatever. God created all these things to put on display his image, his likeness. You have to remember that when God begins to create, the first thing that he does is he hovers over the waters. And it's amazing to me, we see the same picture here in Revelation 4, God is hovering over the waters once again. He's on a sea of glass like crystal. Now, what happens when you hover over the waters? You see your reflection. When you look over a wishing well or some kind of, you know, a body of water, a pool, and you look, and it's a beautiful day outside, and that water is crystal clear, at times you can see reflection. That's what God saw when he was about to create. He saw his own reflection, and he said, ooh, I'm going to do that. And he began to create all creation as an expression of his image. And so, how much more, as we get closer and closer to the throne, is God's image put on full display? So he's sparing no expense. He's making sure that every detail portrays something about him, whether it's the emerald rainbow around the throne, the 24 living the 24 elders, or the four living creatures. Now, we know that there are 24 hours in our day. And so 24 hours, there are 24 elders. According to the sons of Aaron, they were the priests that were given responsibilities. And they were doing this, determined by the hour. Now we see this in Revelation 4. These 24 elders are serving the Lord day and night, 24 hours. Doesn't matter what time, they're always there serving him. And they are pictured as casting their crowns. But they do not rest day or night. I want to draw your attention to this, though. The four living creatures, the first living creature. Man, this is good. How many of y'all are blessed by this? Do us a favor, share this broadcast. Guys, we're live right now. And I believe God is doing something really powerful. Do us a favor, share this broadcast, because we want to get this message out. This is all about Jesus. And so we see Revelation 4, and the first living creature was like a lion. Well, what does that tell you? Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you look at the Gospels, each of the Gospels depict a different aspect of the nature of Jesus. When Jesus comes in the book of Matthew, we see Matthew's document, his Gospel account, portraying Jesus as king. They attempted to make him king over and over, but he couldn't. He had to go to the cross in order that he might be king of the nations. And so we see Matthew's Gospel as king. Well, the lion is the picture of the king. And so we see this lion. It's a portrayal of the nature of Jesus reflected in one of the four living creatures. This is not Jesus. I'm not saying that one of the four living creatures is Jesus. It's just an aspect of his nature that when he creates and the things around his throne are a reflection of who he is. And so we see the first living creature has the face like a lion. And so he's seeing God. He's looking at God with an unveiled face. He's looking at Jesus with an unveiled face. And so we see his face. It's the face like a lion. He's the king. The second living creature was like a calf. This is so good because this second living creature is pictured like a calf or an ox. What does that tell you? An ox is a servant. What does it say? Do not muzzle the ox while he treads out the grain. Mark is the picture of Jesus as the servant. He goes around. He's healing. He's doing the work like an ox. He is working while God is working. He's co-laboring. And so we see in Mark, Jesus pictured as the servant. So, excuse me, I've got to get some water. I'm getting ahead of myself. Isn't this good? So then, as we go on, we see the next living creature, which is the third living creature, had a face like a man. Now, what does that tell you? It tells us that Jesus is pictured as the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. He's fully God, but fully man. Fully God, but fully man. Now, some of us might have heard this before, that we are just having a 70-year human experience. We're really a spirit being having a 70-year human experience. But I have a problem with that because Jesus came and he was born into this world as a human, the Son of God. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And at his resurrection, he is still a human, although he has a resurrected body. And he is the first fruits. And you and I when we are resurrected and go into the age to come, we'll actually have not just a spirit body, we'll have a human body with resurrected power, with resurrected glory. It's resurrection. And so we see this, that Jesus is now still a man. And it tells us that a man, King Jesus, will forever rule the cosmos. When Luke gives his gospel account, Luke tells us about Jesus as the man. John tells us of Jesus as the Son of God, and that's the point of John's gospel account, but Luke's gospel account is to picture him as a man. And so we see in Luke, Jesus is the man. And the same thing here, the third living creature is the face like a man. Now, when we get to the fourth living creature, what does it say? The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. That's the picture of Jesus illustrated by one of the four living creatures, that he is the divine Son of God. John goes to great lengths to tell us this in his gospel account. And now he's reiterating this for us in the book of Revelation. And he's telling us this, Jesus is that divine Son. So this four living creature, this fourth living creature, he's not Jesus, but he is a picture or a portrayal of the nature of God. So when God created these four living creatures, he did it to put on display different aspects of his nature. What does this tell us for us today? 2 Corinthians 3, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are now with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. And in the same way, we're being transformed. Just like the Isaiah 6 seraphim are transformed, they're transformed from having their face covered to now having their face fully unveiled. And we in the same way are having our face fully unveiled, and now we can behold God in Christ, and we're being transformed into his image, into his likeness, like these four living creatures. And so this is what's happening. And I believe it's happening to each and every one of us. Now, you know, a lot of people in the New Age would try to identify what their spirit animal is. I don't think that that's what this passage is trying to tell us. But I would say that Jesus is pictured as the lion. He's also pictured as the lamb. And in some ways, as we grow into his image, as we grow into his likeness, as we're beholding him, the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed to have that lion-like characteristic in us. We're embracing a lion-like move of God. We're embracing that eagle-like move of God. We're going to soar above the circumstances that are here on this earth. And so embrace this today. God wants to place his spirit upon you. So what do? They do the same thing that you see in the book of Isaiah. They don't rest day or night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him. What do? They fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and by your will they exist and were created." Now, when we hear this in Revelation 4, we're gonna look, there are three things that they ascribe to the Lord. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power." So they ascribe to him glory, honor, and power. These are the top three things that are being ascribed to the Lord. They're saying, "You're worthy to receive these things, glory, honor, power." Then if you get to Revelation 5, they expand this to 7. They keep the first three, glory, honor, power. Wisdom, though, begins to enter the scene. Riches, strength, and blessing. So they add 4 others. We're going to get into those in our next Revelation report, what that means, because these are a big deal thing. God wants to fill the earth with his glory. And what does his glory look like? Well, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, they fall down before him. They cast their crowns down and they ascribe to him glory, honor, power. This is what his glory is doing as it covers the earth. It's filling the earth with his honor. It's filling the earth with his power. It's filling the earth with his glory, his goodness. Now, what is the glory of God? A lot of people ask that question. What is the glory of God? I think it's very simple. The glory of God is the face of Jesus. The glory of God is the face of Jesus. Hebrews 1 tells us this, that Jesus is the brightness of his glory. And so when we look at Jesus, we're looking at the glory of God. I believe God's glory is coming upon you today. This Revelation report has been awesome. I hope you've enjoyed this, what Troy shared, what I shared. And we're going to continue this conversation next week. Tune in. Every Tuesday we do these, and this has been fun. I'm looking forward to what God has for you. Lord, fill your people with your presence. Lord, I ask for an outpouring and upgrade us like what John had when he saw the four living creatures, when he saw the 24 elders. Pour out your presence, Lord, so that we could join in this heavenly worship. We ask you this in King Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Miss Tabitha, come back on and bless us. And we're going to continue this conversation next week.
Awesome. 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 Thank you so much, Jamie. That was so good. And everybody in the comments has talked about how great this is and are just thanking you for just revealing Revelation. It's so cool. Actually wanted to, before I let you go, I just wanted everybody to know that you can find more of Jamie's teaching. He has Dream Culture. Go to jamiegalloway.com. And Jamie, we will see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday, Tabitha. Thank you.
Bye.